From the center of the universe, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, this is the SDM Show with your host, Rob Cairns. The SDM Show focuses on business, life, productivity, digital marketing, WordPress, and more. Sit back, relax, grab your favorite drink, and enjoy the show. Here is Rob.
Hey, everybody, I'm Rob Cairns. I'm the founder, CEO, and chief creator of Amazing Ideas at Stunning Digital Marketing. In this podcast, I have my monthly co-host, Mr. Ryan Waterbury, with me, and we're going to talk about tools for your agency. This is one show you don't want to dare miss. Grab a drink, relax, and enjoy the show. This podcast is sponsored by Stunning Digital Marketing, the agency that can help protect your WordPress website today. Go to stunningdigitalmarketing.com and see what we can do to help you protect your business investment. That's stunningdigitalmarketing.com. Hey, everybody, Rob Cairns here. And today I'm here with my monthly co-host, Mr. Ryan Waterbury. How are you today, Ryan?
Cold, wet, and getting full of snow.
You know what I was thinking? This is the first interview show I've done since I had the little health episode. So good to have you back.
It's good to be back. Great, quiet day for podcasting in the home studio.
Yeah, what is a quiet day around here? I don't know. But today we thought we'd talk a little bit about agency tools and talking about spring cleanup. So one of the biggest things I find, and agencies, this could even apply to a brick and mortar business, companies need to audit their tools. So I went into a company recently, about a couple months ago, I did an audit, and they had no word of a lie, 15 charges on their credit card, and they were using 5 of them. What's your feeling about keeping track of tools and how and where?
That's kind of interesting. I have my tools in a Google Sheet, and I chuckle because the founder of Pabbly said, He had a tweet and also posted in their Facebook group. I'm finding that Google Sheets is the most used CRM, SEO tool, and it, you name it. It's one of those tools, and I use it for a lot of those things, I'll be honest. But keeping track of tools for a long time, I've got a Google Sheet. And, a reminder on, you know, what day of the year they renew or if they're an LTD. But something interesting that MainWP just came out with was the cost tracker. And that's a really neat upgrade. And I want to take a second just to talk about how I'm starting to shift there. Because that's part of my spring cleanup. I said, who's using what tool? Am I spending too much? Well, the cost tracker allows you to see what sites are using a tool and what the cost per site is to actually maintain. And that's something that I've tried to do before, but there really wasn't a good tool to do it. And so that's been a boon. So good job, MainWP.
Yeah. And what I would say is like, you got, what I do is one of the tips I have is, and you know what happens, you jump on a site, SEMrush, you put a credit card in, oh, we won't charge you for 14 days. And then you get busy and you forget about it. And it's just this tools, it's anything digital. People forget about subscriptions, right? So the way I roll is I put a reminder in my calendar at 5 a.m., 7 days before, 3 days before, and the day of. And then that way I don't forget about renewals and when they come up. And then I'm being constantly badgered. And by the way, I do the same thing with domain names too. So I never forget stuff. And you know why 5 a.m.? Because at 5 a.m. I better have a head on a pillow. So it's like, but if you use some other tools to remind you, then life gets a little easier, don't you think?
Absolutely. And you hit it right on the head with subscriptions. They're, they're out of control. And it was, what was it, 5, 6, 7 years ago. We've been in the Netflix era, and, you know, I was talking about WebCare, and, you know, somebody said, keep it monthly. Nobody even thinks to look because, you know, you're subscribed to Netflix, now Amazon Prime, and, you know, the list has gotten pretty big of what you subscribe to monthly.
It's the zone, and it goes on and goes on. And Spotify, right. And it goes on and on.
And, you know, they're all billed monthly. And, you know, you mentioned Spotify. I'm happy to pay for it. I use it all the time. And honestly, it's been a good tool to help me out. But it's a tool I paid for monthly since 2012. That's a lot of money. It, you know, was $9 a month then. I think it's now $12 a month. Is it worth it for me? Sure. It's like buying a new album every month. I used to do that. I don't anymore because of the library. But, you know, that's how easy it is for subscriptions to go on and take a lot of money. I mean, you take 12 years at an average of roughly $10 a month. That's a good chunk of change that I've spent on one tool. Do I use it all the time? No. Is it worth $10? It's when you look at the total time I've been using it, maybe, maybe not. So those are the kind of things that when we look at tools that we're using, am I getting value out of it? Is it still a subscription that's worthwhile to keep? And does it help me save either time or money or general frustration? Those are the kind of thing. Those are the three things that I think about when I look at subscriptions and tools when I've been going through my spring cleaning.
Yeah, no question. I mean, the biggest problem is, and I don't like to use tools that replicate other tools. So, you know, it's funny. We all do video meetings. I think you're doing most of yours on Google Meet these days. I know, for example, on a video meeting, anything under 40 minutes, I'll go to the free Zoom, but I'm not paying for Zoom. Mm-hmm. Because I already own this platform, StreamYard. So the reality is, if somebody wants a recorded meeting, I'll just go to StreamYard and record it locally and just not broadcast it and put the video somewhere. I mean, the point is, I'm not paying for duplicate tools that do the same thing every day, all day. It's just not.
Exactly. I had a client who complained and said, I won't do Google Meet. You know, why don't you do Zoom? And I said, you do realize Zoom is doing the same thing and worse with collecting your private data. So as we look at all these tools, have to look at some of the privacy things now. And especially if there's overlap in tools, why there's no reason for me to pay for Zoom. I pay for Google. I mentioned using Google Sheets. Workspace is one of the best, values out in the industry, in my opinion, still for, you know, a solopreneur and an office suite. You get video conferencing, the full office tools, spreadsheets, you know, documents to write things, and storage space plus domain email. There's more, but those are the main ones that I use, and it's useful. Yeah. I am happy to continue to pay for that. In fact, I just upped my subscription for more storage space.
So my biggest complaint with Workspaces is, I hate to say this, is the Google Gmail app. You cannot make rules on the Gmail app. And that's, you have to do it on the web browser. And that drives me insane. And that actually caused me to take my email and move it to a company called Fastmail, because Fastmail, I can make rules on the mobile app, and I live on mobile. So, but I haven't given up on Workspaces, as you know. I use Workspaces for Photos for personal. It's still the best photo app out there with AI. Storage is cheap. I pay for, what am I paying for? 200 gigabytes of storage space. It costs me $2.99 Canadian a month. Like, that's a price of a cup of coffee. That's not even worth talking about, Ryan. So, you know, things
like that. Oh, exactly. That's, that's not even the cost of coffee anymore.
So I'm going to open a can of worms. The word PM tools, project management. There is 50. You knew I was going to go here too. You know me.
I have words.
Oh, so do I. And when I worked in enterprise, so when I worked in healthcare banks, they're all Microsoft project shops because enterprise is all Microsoft shop. And Project, I'll tell you, is the worst PM package out there. These days, I use Notion to manage my projects. I think you're using ClickUp. And you and I have probably both tried everything under the sun up and down. What's your take on PM tools?
It's a love-hate relationship because none of them do exactly what you want them to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's something that ClickUp got bashed for early on, and they've gotten better, and they've really started to focus on, you know, being more modular with, you know, how you can use parts of the tools that you need and hide the other ones. But that's the thing, no project management tool, and even the ones in the niche that are very niche specific, give you 100% of what you want. Yep. And it's the same with CRMs, you know, or PMs. There's a lot of overlap in some of those tools. And the fact is, you have to come to the table to be ready to be disappointed.
Yep.
And not get everything. And if you get 80% of what you want, that's fantastic. And then the thing that I've learned, that last 20%, it's forced me to look at my internal processes and say, hey, do I really need to do this way? Or is the way that the tool's presenting a little bit better way?
Yep.
So sometimes that's been a plus and a minus, you know, as I've gone through different PM tools. It was for a while there, it was like changing PM tools like a fresh pair of clothes every day, because there were so many that were on AppSumo, and I went through the LTD craze. And, you know, that's even worse with, you know, AppSumo's raised their rate. So if you're buying tools at the top tier and spending a few hundred dollars every time a new old tool comes out, that's just sunk cost that you'll never get back. And I learned my lesson that don't buy every shiny new object out there. There's always, you know, a PM tool that'll come out that solves that next percent of your problems. You don't need to change, especially if you have people that like your tool, that know it, work with it. And the best one to use is the one that you use. I don't use ClickUp the right way. I find myself constantly frustrated with especially daily task management, but long-term project management as a project management tool, it's worked the best for me. Yep. I'm still looking for that daily organization tool that I just have not found one or a way to organize my day where it works well. And yeah, and that's
fine. Let me share with you something. So one of the things I do, and I think you and I have talked about on this podcast and in our mastermind chat and one-on-one, I color code my calendar. So I can, and I still use Google Calendar religiously. So here I am moving away, but I still use Google Calendar. And the nice cool thing is Fastmail actually loads your Google Calendar in, and I can take calendar invites and say, move it from this calendar to that calendar. And I move stuff out of Fastmail's calendar into Google's calendar all the time, because that's kind of my go-to. So I color code my Google Calendar. So that helps. But my problem has been to-do list managers. There's 50 friggin' million. I can say friggin' on this podcast, I think, is mine. But there's 50 million task managers out there. For a long time, I used Todoist. And Todoist is like a well-known Todoist manager. You know what I'm using now, Ryan? Google task manager. They have now implemented a Kanban style board, and that ended that.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, that's
and it's free and included with Gmail.
Yeah. And it's I just consulted on you know that with a new client and you know gave him some advice. Have a great industry specific tool for their projects and estimates and a CRM, and they love it. But daily task management was missing. I said he wanted to do Google Workspace just for the tasks, except he liked his other email that they already had. And I said, you don't need Google Workspace. I said, why don't you try Trello and just throw your tasks on a board and have a reminder and, you know, try it out and see if it works. I said, chances are it's either going to work for you or not. And if it doesn't, then that style with the boards doesn't work for you. Maybe you need a checklist. And you don't really know until you try them out. And that's the other part of it. I've been trying to be more disciplined about processes, and not just tools, but you know, the processes around the tools. Tools are great, but if you can't follow the processes to work within the tools, it doesn't matter what tool you're using.
And it so that's if you don't update your tool. So a lot of people start with the tools. I mean, CRMs are like that, customer relationship managers. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have CRMs, and then you look at the data and it's garbage. And it's like, to make your CRM work, and I don't care if you're using HubSpot, you're using Zoho, you're using anything built into WordPress, not built into WordPress. If you don't use the tool, you are done, and you need to keep it up to date.
Exactly. And, you know, things change. And, you know, that's just a reality of life in the world, period. Not just the world we live in. It's just faster these days, especially in the digital realm. Yep. And, you know, some of these things that we go through aren't going to change. You have a task to do. You're doing it. You got to review it. And then it's done. Mm-hmm. How you present that information might change over time. You know, I started becoming fond of Gantt charts, especially when I'm working with other colleagues on a project, because then we can see who's working on things in parallel, where you don't always get that with your Kanban view, with your card view that you're dragging from station to station. And so when you look at tools, you know, I've talked about the checklist where sometimes that's just, you know, reordering your tasks in a list. And, you know, it's not only the tool, but the way that it presents the information to you and how you work with it. Because we're all doing the same things. You have a task, it needs to get done, and it needs to get done on this date and time, and it takes this much time. Mm-hmm. That's normal for everything. Doesn't matter what industry you're in. The tool that presents that information might be different and might interface with different systems. Slack, you know, for us in particular, is big in our industry. That's another tool, a communication tool. But yeah, PM tools, I still have a love hate. I don't love ClickUp. I'm going to try another one when it's released because it integrates with some other tools. If it works, mm-hmm. great. If it doesn't, there's, you know, other ones.
Yeah, I would say the biggest problem with tools is how you organize it in the processes. I agree with you. Like, more I think about that, the more I say it's the organizational flow to me that's more important. Most tools are pretty similar. They'll all do the job, whether it's a PM tool, whether it's an email tool. They all have their nuances. I mean, you know, for example, the office crew is woken up, I think.
Unfortunately.
I look at email tools and, you know, I don't like to check my email via the web interface. I either use mm-hmm. a mobile app or an email client. And I'm not one to skip around and jump tools. Like, I tend to use the same ones every day, all day, all over the place. Speaking of tools, just because it's hot off the press as we record, the biggest buy happened yesterday, and Adobe, who owns Canva, bought a company called Affinity, and they are my photo editing tool of choice, and I just cringed when I saw that.
Well, I haven't even seen that news yet. Wow. That's, I'm kind of interested to see if that goes through. The Figma acquisition was squashed, for antitrust and monopoly. So we'll see if that goes through, if it's allowed to go through. It would be unfortunate if it did, because the Affinity suite, I tried it, and what it came down to is I didn't do the next upgrade. I went back and got Creative Suite. Why? Because I looked at my tools and what I do, and I'm doing more PPC marketing, including video composition. And hands down, I know Final Cut Pro, I know Express. It got to the same expense of buying the whole Creative Suite. And I know Photoshop and Illustrator much better than the Affinity products. Yep. So for me, my tool choice was ease of use. I'm willing to pay a little bit more because I'm a lot faster with those tools. I've been using Photoshop since the early 90s, like 91, 92, right when it came out. I had a copy. And so that's a long time with the tool. And it's hard for me to switch. I'm not a young cat anymore. So
yeah,
I
agree with that. I actually switched to Affinity about 4 years ago, and I'm kind of torn. And the reason I'm torn is I can just see the Affinity suite going to a subscription model, which Adobe likes, so that concerns me. But I'm also a Canva page user, and I could see them taking Affinity and integrating it into Canva. I can see that coming. So you see why I'm torn?
Yeah, I've been using Adobe Express more and more, which is Adobe's answer, and there's a free tier, it's freemium. It's their answer to Canva to do quick mock-ups, for social media and other things. Canva's, kind of the opposite direction. They've been expanding their not quick tools, but their heavier publishing tools. And, that suite purchase makes sense. It all comes down to Canva works for me. It's handy, but Adobe Express works better for me because I get the same tool set, but I get access to all my other Adobe assets. Yep. So I look for, when I look at tools, and now I'm going to veer into the WordPress realm a little bit when we talk tools, does it integrate or work with the other tools that I already work with? That's a really big thing, because if it doesn't work with the other tools, and that's the one of the other ones, Adobe Express has a free integration with Google Drive where I have all my assets. So for me, it works with what I'm already using, and it already works in my workflow. So I take that, into consideration. Does it work with my other tools? Now, in addition to working with my other tools, if it doesn't, there's cost to make it work, either in my time figuring it out and developing a solution, or, Zapier, Pabbly, Flowmatic, one of the other tool connectors.
Formerly
Integromat, Integrately. There's so many out there, and these no code connectors are fantastic, and I think they help a lot to bridge the gap between tools. But when we start talking about WordPress tools, I had a little bit of a rant in my last newsletter, and I've been using WooCommerce subscriptions to manage my recurring revenue and billing. It gives my clients a portal on my website to update their card info. I've had long-term clients long enough where their cards have expired. They've had to update. It was easy and convenient. Some have switched subscriptions, signed up automatically, and it's been nice. And when I signed on, it had just gone up to $99 a year, and automatic WooCommerce purchased the external plugin and made it part of their extension suite. So it's gone up a couple of times over the years, and now it's almost $300 a year.
Yeah.
So from when I started using it and switched in 2021 fully to now, that's a 300% increase in a couple of years. Mm-hmm. Now a few $100 isn't bad, but I also use it on a bunch of client sites. And they took away the agency licensing in 2020 and said, you're going to have to buy a license for each site. This morning, I just read the email that they are going to require you to sign into your WooCommerce.com account, your WordPress.org account, and do your updates through their portal for the WooCommerce extensions now that you can't download and manually upload like you could with any other plugin. And they're doing this to enforce that you buy a license for each site. So now it comes into, you know, we've been talking about what tools work for you. Now we look at, and we started out with cost. Now, is it still worth it? Well, if I've got 10 sites that use that, do the math real quick and tell me what the cost is on that.
Yeah, it goes up.
It goes up pretty quick. And, you know, as an agency, I always complain. You know, I'm very vocal about it. I got myself into a nice X discussion again, complaining about automatic and and this one is, you know, WooCommerce. Good for them. I think, you know, a lot of the plugin prices when we look at SaaS tools are ridiculously cheap. $300 a year, you know, $279 is still really cheap for an individual user. When we consider that, you know, other tools are, you know, per user based or, you know, on a monthly basis, like ClickUp, you know, we look at SaaS tools are $9 a month subscription versus annual. But now we have to look at, I'm an agency owner and I provide, you know, agency tools to my clients on care. So my spring cleaning is different from, you know, an individual business. When I look at tools, because I provide tools to clients and cost is starting to become a factor. We've been relatively insulated in the tech industry, I think, with cost, you know, and inflation hasn't hit us as hard. It's been incremental and small, but now we're seeing big jumps. And that to me is starting to be concerning and a little bit scary because I think we've been holding it off as long as we could, and there's going to be a little bit of a floodgate opening with price increases on SaaS tools and, you know, other tools that we use.
Yeah, I agree with this. It's an ongoing issue, and it's getting to be, like, really, really silly, to be honest with you, the pricing. And we got to factor in, and then when you raise your rates, your clients look at you and say, why are your rates going up? Well, because my cost is going up. So that's a big issue. What else are you working on with spring cleaning going on?
You know, spring cleaning, that's one thing where I shot a lot of video for a client for some new ad campaigns that we're going to run. And all of a sudden, Google Drive said, you're running out of space. And I said, oh, shoot. I should probably clean up that stuff from 2017 that doesn't need to be there anymore. Yeah. And, you know, it's gotten me to look at what do I hang on to? Is this client that I did work for in 2017 that I haven't done any more work for? Do I need to keep their assets? Probably not. And not even archive worthy at this point. It's, you know, if they need it, it's time to do something new. So file cleaning, is a big one for me right now. And I'm going through that, not as meticulously as I would like, but there's stuff that I've got that I've kept for too long and it's just cluttering. I also look at organizational structure on how I'm keeping things, you know, and even in my office and my desk, files are getting cleaned out the same way. That's kind of giving me another reminder that hey, you're starting to get full on a couple of these drawers with papers. Just like the files on Google Drive, I need to move them out and, you know, create space for the next year. So just general tidiness that you should probably do once a year. I haven't been doing it as well as I should have. And I didn't think about it until I got the nudge from Google that said, hey, you need more space.
Yeah, it's so true. And file cleanup's a big one. That cleanup's a big one. If you got external hard drives like I do, I have a few, as you know. That's a big one. Looking at those, it's easy. Just the storage is so cheap just to say, oh, I'll buy another hard drive. Oh, I'll put my credit card in Amazon and send me one more. You know, that's not that hard these days. So there's a lot of big ones. Is there anything else that you should look at with your spring clean? You're looking at with spring cleaning, right?
The other thing that I used to do January for a long time was, you know, pretty slow. And, you know, just I did retail and hospitality. And, you know, after that big holiday rush, it got quiet for a month or two. And I had the leisure time to update my website, redesign it if I wanted to. And I'm talking full redesign for a couple of years. And I've been taking that time again to revamp my marketing funnels. And yep. I've been that's my newsletter focus, and talking about changing processes, because it's been a few years since I've looked at them. And what I'm coming back to is finding things that worked 5 years ago don't work today. Some do, some are working again. And it's rediscovering processes and kind of taking a real look at, you know, where do I spend my time? And yep. it's hard to figure out, you know, time. I mean, time is not an easy thing for us to come by. So when I look at my own stuff, I always treat myself like the starving baker. I look at it last. Mm-hmm. That's why I've been going through some of those revamps, because I can't afford to put my business last anymore. Honestly, it should have been first for a long time. But it's hard to find time when you're, you know, dealing with clients breaking stuff, and, you know, or heavy dev projects that take all day. And, you know, you really need to take a step back once in a while and look at your tools, your processes, and, you know, just the general health of the business. Well, I'm doing it a little more specific on, I know I need to be healthier on the revenue side. So I'm taking direct aim at my marketing tools.
One of the things I did was, after I came out of the hospital, after my health scare, I've taken a couple of weeks and just kind of looked at that kind of stuff, looked at processes, revamped stuff. And now my next big dive is to finally get into that website content that I've been trying to update for like 8 months. And I've just said, it has to happen. It has to happen now. And it has to happen by the end of the first week, April. So I'm already in that mode. And because I'm in this quasi work / health recovery mode, I'm not taking on anything new right now. I'm just kind of trying to get my house in order. And in the long run, I'll be 10 times better off for, to be honest with you. So that's important.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, when you find a time that you just need to take the time, and, you know, I had some health problems last year myself, and it wasn't fun. I was overly booked already, and it was not a good time, especially when I had old processes that mostly worked but needed some fine tuning. And, you know, getting through them on a downtime, it's much better than when you're absolutely packed with work. But sometimes you can't avoid it, and that you need to schedule time. That the best processes, the best tools out there aren't going to help you if you don't stick to your processes and aren't consistent. And that's why I implemented my support ticket system. I know that's one tool base that you've switched and are updating. I find myself getting lax when customers email me directly. And, you know, the best tools, the best processes don't help you if you don't follow the process. You're right back where you were before.
Yep. I had a client yesterday, didn't open a ticket. So being the nice web guy I am, I took a screenshot video and shot a quick video of how to go create an ID, how to open a ticket, and sent it back to him and said, please follow this. And I didn't offer to open the ticket for them. I told them, I showed them how to do it, but I wasn't doing it. So that's it.
I got one of those late last night, and it came in with a through Gmail with the high priority flag. And I said, I'm going to respond to it right now and schedule it for 8 in the morning. And I sent them a link to the form to fill out support. I don't want to deal with it. And if I still haven't gotten a ticket. So it must not be that important. Frankly, I have three other tickets I have to take care of today. So if clients can't take the time to use our systems, and I may be sounding callous and a little bit like a jerk, but if your clients can't give you enough respect to use your systems that they're paying, you know, you to provide services for, then honestly, they don't respect you and your processes.
No, I agree.
That was one of those things when I talked about following good processes. It's not just us, it's our clients as well. So that's the other part of it. When I look at tools, I always have to keep in my mind, is this going to be user-friendly for my clients? So when we talk about agency tools, that's another big thing. Sure, it benefits me, and that's great, but does this also benefit my clients?
No, I agree with you. Thanks for the chat. As always, our monthly segments will continue. I think we've been at them like a couple of years now. So that's kind of,
it has been. I think it was 2022. We started the monthly chat, which is awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. I appreciate you. You have a wonderful day, Mr. Waterbury, and make sure you put those two office managers to work because they sound like they're sleeping again.
No, they are very much not sleeping. They are watching the snow whipping down this nice spring day, ready to go out and run around and play in it. They do not want to work today.
Have a good day, Ryan. Take care of yourself.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
This show is brought to you by stunningdigitalmarketing.com. Your Toronto leader in digital marketing services. Not only do we protect your WordPress website, we can help you with your site, provide social media management for your business, or even do one-on-one consulting. To find out more, go to stunningdigitalmarketing.com. A very special thank you to Ryan Waterbury for joining me on this edition of the STM Show. Hey, everybody, Rob here again. Thanks for listening to the STM Show. It's such a pleasure to have you every week. If you want more on our agency website, go to stunningdigitalmarketing.com. We are your WordPress security experts. We'd be glad to help you out. If you want to learn more about me, Rob Cairns, go to meetrobcairns.online. From there, you can find links to everything I do on the web, as well as book time with me. So feel free. If you want to make comments about this podcast or know a guest possibly suitable for the podcast, please email us at podcast@stunningdigitalmarketing.com or conversely, you can go to X, formerly known as Twitter, and tweet at me at Rob Cairns. This podcast is dedicated to my late father, Bruce Cairns. Dad, I miss you very much, and I love you. Please join us next week for another interesting podcast, and have a great week, everybody. Bye for now.